Just join me for a few seconds here and pray. Thank you, Father, for each one that are here today. We pray for those that are at the marriage retreat / advance, that you would bless them, those relationships that are being formed and strengthened, that you would be right in the middle. And we pray safe travels as they come back. And Father, I just want to thank you for actually sharing in prayer with people what you had asked me to share. So thank you for that confirmation. I give it over to you, Lord, and ask that your Holy Spirit would give me the words, that I would be clear and would represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen. So that was really good, you guys. You did great. I didn't even have to pay you to be a part of my teaching this morning that I was going to share. And just get ready, because part of what this is all about is, do I need to move? Thank you. Is for you to share. And I don't know how many of you were here last week, but what I had asked is that you would think about things that have encouraged you, that other people have shared, that other people have said, stories, their stories, okay? That you would remember what they've said, and that if it encouraged you, that you would be willing to share today. And so what that did was it sent me, Curran, could you please not play with that? It's so distracting, hon. Thank you. I almost tripped on Noah's football, just so you know, Noah. Thank you. That was fun. Good job. Good job. Anyhow, let me just say this. So let me go into a couple things. I started looking up the word remember. And it's a Hebrew word. It's zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. And it actually is very interesting because it means remember, but there's some other stuff that goes along with it, okay? It is designed to inspire action. So our remembering, God's remembering, is to get us to do something, or he will, and he does something. An example is that I found is in with Noah and the ark, okay? God remembered Noah. He remembered Noah, that Noah was righteous and his family. And so what did God do? He preserved them, right? He had Noah build an ark. So his remembering resulted in God taking action, and it protected Noah and his family, and it continued the human race. Another thing about that is one of the things that God's done is given us a rainbow, right? How many of you know what a rainbow means? It's a promise, right? It's a promise that God will never destroy the earth again by a cosmic flood. Thank you, Lord. I bet the people in Houston probably thought that this may be the end, but it was a flood, but not covering the earth. So God remembered, every time we look at a rainbow, it's to remind us that he has taken action, that he is not going to flood the earth. That's not going to be how he ends things, all right? Joseph, when Joseph was in jail, and he was jailed unjustifiably, he should never have been jailed, but he was in jail, and the cupbearer of the king of Pharaoh was in jail with him. And the cupbearer had some dreams. Joseph interpreted those dreams. Joseph said to the cupbearer, please remember me when you get back to meet with Pharaoh and tell him that I helped you. Well, the cupbearer took about 2 years to do that, but he eventually did it. And that resulted in Joseph. And Joseph wanted, so he wanted the cupbearer to remember to do something with it. Okay, so hopefully this is a concept that you're getting, but there is something about remembering that is, it's very important. The word remember is, or some tense of it, is found 320 times in just the Old Testament, in the King James Version. The book of Deuteronomy, the word, means spoken twice. Zakar is in that book a lot of times, many times, okay? Because Deuteronomy is actually just a time, it's a book where God said, all these things that I have talked to you about in Genesis, and my law that I've given you in Exodus, this is to remind you to do something with that, okay? Now, the something that we should be reminded of to do when we hear somebody share a story is to encourage one another, to build each other up, to build myself up, and to build each other up. Okay, so last week, and the word encouragement, Sam, would you put up those verses, please? Sam told me to give him a little bit of a heads up. So what do we have up there? We'll have Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, and then Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 25. Encouragement, the word in the Greek is parakaleo. It appears 105 times in the New Testament. And listen to this. So how many of you think that encouragement is just somebody making you feel good? I've always thought that, right? In fact, if I want to feel good, I go to one of two people in this church. There might be some others. We have two mercy extenders. One is Barbara Green. You want to feel good? You call Barbara. She will never, ever, ever tell you anything bad about you. She will never correct you. She will never make you feel in the least bit insecure or slighted. She will always be merciful to you, and you walk away feeling like, wow, thank you, Lord. And then he says, yeah, well, I have a few other things to share with you, okay? then he sends them to me, okay? Because I tend to be direct. Come on, most of you that have known me, right, Paige, tend to be direct. I had somebody tell me that one of the reasons why they like to come and talk to me is because I don't take any, I don't let them buffalo me. Katie Kelly is another one. In case you haven't met Katie, Katie's sitting in the back. Katie is a pure mercy extender. You can't be with her 5 seconds when you're already feeling good. She was always positive. She's the one that after Ty gets through with his two boys, correcting them about basketball and the game they just have, right, Trey, right, Ethan? Mom comes in and just makes them feel better, whatever it is. Maybe she makes their favorite dinner. So there's a reason. So if we're going to be encouraged and you want to be encouraged, that way go to them. So let's look at these verses. So let's see. Ephesians 4:11, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Every single one of us in this room are in one of those categories. We have a gift. It's maybe we're not out there establishing churches, but I'm going to tell you what the Nortons did with all of those young people from Concordia, they're part of this right here, because they had somebody in some of those kids, some Jack and Naomi, they fit right into there. When I saw Naomi holding that little child in Calcutta, I think it was in Calcutta, and Jack talking about your friend that you made in Rwanda, that's part of being a pastor, okay? That's part of getting up alongside somebody and developing a relationship with them. And so we have all these gifts for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of the Christ. So why do we have that? Why did God give us? For us to do something, which is what was prayed today. Let's do something with what we have, okay? So these families, God has, I would almost guarantee that in each of these families that we've talked about, there are some believers. And they have been hopefully encouraged and built up enough that they can share at least Jesus with these families in a way that those families can hear it and when they can hear it, okay? And go to the next one, Sam. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, doesn't mean we all think alike, and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. So the goal is to get us mature. So the goal of remembering so that we will encourage, and encouragement is to help us mature and to grow up into men of God, men and women of God. Okay. I found this meaning of encouragement, and I think this is scriptural. I was at 12:30 this morning, I thought I might want to do a word study on encouragement. that it might be a little bit too late to start that word study. So I did some, I was working on my computer, and then some of you, do some of you know that, like, some of the Bible apps that are out there, they don't have the best search engine? But Google does. Google has a really good search engine. The problem was that Google wasn't working for me last night. So anyhow, I didn't get a full word study. I'll talk to Jennifer afterward because she does that kind of stuff and she's good at it. Encouragement usually means that one is calling someone to their side in order to teach, to comfort, to strengthen, or get this, to push them into the act and act for them, in a way for them to act a certain way. To push them, okay, they come alongside, to push them so that they will act a certain way that's a good thing. Not like being manipulative and not to be pushy. Okay? All right. So, one of the things that I did was I went through a couple of the things that we've heard in the last couple of months, and they were sources of encouragement for me, okay? How many of you were here and heard RJ and Michaela's story? Okay. So RJ and Michaela are a young couple in our church. They got married at least, how long ago? 8 years ago. I'm not exposing them because everything that I'm telling you, they've already shared. Michaela's parents are sitting back there, and they're taking care of RJ and Michaela's daughter, Kaden. Because Cindy has some really good friends that prayed with her through the worst part of RJ and Michaela's marriage, I know a little bit more, but all that did was to help me when RJ and Michaela had gone through, and I'm going to say it, they walked through hell, and they kept going, and they've come out on the other side of it, to the point that RJ then proposed to Michaela here at church. They renewed their vows, and is life perfect? I'm sure it's not, but I know it's a whole lot better. So a marriage was saved because somebody encouraged them. A lot of people encouraged them. Kevin was probably the one that did most of the encouraging. And I'm sure there were some things that he had to push somebody into action about. These two people right here, Will and Allie. Okay, now, a lot of you know them, some of you don't. I've known Will since he was born. I have only known Allie since, really, Will and Allie became boyfriend and girlfriend, but then not until after that. But I will tell you, without exposing anybody, neither one of them have had the absolute wonderful, most wonderful childhood. Allie lost her dad. The good news about losing her dad at, 11 years old, is that there are men in her life, in her family's life, that came around her. And when she and Will were getting married, and the time came for the pastor to ask who gave her away. How many did you have? Five? Seven men, uncles, men in her life that stood up for her in place of her father. That was pretty darn neat. And that encourages me. I don't know if what it does to you, but it encourages me when I think about that. And then those of us that went on the retreat heard Allie's story, which is still amazing. It is amazing and encouraging. Will, I would say, Will, would you say that you had less than an idyllic childhood? Yeah. But you know what? He had a lot of fun because his mom was a really good mom, and she made fun. She made them to have fun. Everything she did was fun. And the good news is that she was also a prayer warrior, and she prayed them through every single thing. Will and his twin brother, Beau, joined the Army after high school. And they were blessed by going to Iraq. It was one of the most difficult things for those of us that were here to pray for them, but pray and pray protection. Will was with a company called F Troop. Sam, you probably know what that is. and was in Fallujah. The first time and the second time, right? Is that right?
For the invasion, the second time I was in Baghdad.
Okay. Iraq. I should have just said Iraq. I would have been better. Came home. Had some difficulties with reentry, and he and Allie got married, and Will and Allie are now part of this church body. And that was not an easy thing either, was it? That was a process. So I think about them, and I'm encouraged. And when I see them on Sunday, and I see they have two little girls that they both love tremendously, I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by Annette. Annette and I have known each other for years. The things that she's gone through, which I'll let her share, but the things that she's gone through are unfathomable for any of us to have walked through that. I look around and I see all of these kids right here. You know who Brody is? Brody, raise your hand. Brody blesses me. You know why he blesses me? Because when I say hi, Brody, he says hi, Rhonda. He knows my name, and he actually uses it. And if he doesn't know my name, like yesterday, or if he doesn't use my name, I say, hi, who? And he goes, oh, yeah, hi, Rhonda. I'm actually trying to train children that when I call them, use their name, that they would use ours. So I'm going to actually leave this because I think I've said enough. You guys get the point. Who would like to share a story, your story, somebody else's story, something that has encouraged you, that you've remembered, that you've committed to memory, and that when you think about it, it does something to you. It encourages you in a way that it, now you know, it's got to propel you to action. It's God coming up alongside of us and going, okay, Rhonda, now that you're encouraged, you need to go encourage somebody else. Who would like to share? Who's going to be the first one? Okay, Phil, thank you. You're going to break. Why don't you come on up? Ethan, I guess I'll use this, huh? Yeah. I'm making noise taking it off. Well, then he's got to do that. Here, use this.
Just use this. That one's not on.
That's it.
Wow, that's little.
And it's powerful. So go ahead.
This goes back a long time ago. And I'm going to ask somebody to add this up. But when I was 14 years old, my family moved from Indiana to Virginia. And it was the last 4 years of my dad's employment before he was able to retire. And so that was 56 years ago. So how old am I now?
59.
70, okay? But this is something that has encouraged me through the years, and more so here lately than any other time in my life. And it was because when we moved to Virginia, I didn't know anybody. I was 14 years old, and I just turned 14 and going into my freshman year in high school. And it so happened that we moved next door to who became one of my best friends, Jim Mathias, who used to be associate pastor here years ago. Well, the ironic thing about all of that is the fact that where we lived, Jim Mathias lived next to me. Two doors down from him was Ray Liptrap. Two doors down from him was Jim Talley. And my backyard connected with another gentleman named Joe McCauley and his family. And the ironic thing about some of this is the fact that none of us had brothers. We had sisters, but none of us had brothers. But in the process of the years of our high school and then once we all went in the service, served our 2 to 3 years, and got out, and we all got back together again.
Don't play with that because they can hear that, not you. Good.
Oh, okay. But God used that over the years to help sustain us because we all five of us had gone through our different challenges through our lives. But I'm here. I want to not only challenge you but to encourage you. If God's put you together with somebody in your life right now, hang on to that because you won't know, maybe for years, what that relationship has done for you, how it has sustained you, how it has encouraged you, how it has blessed you. And in the midst of being a teenager and going through all the stuff I went through and everything, don't give up. God's got a hold of you. If you've given your heart to the Lord, this is one thing I learned. When you give your heart to the Lord, He doesn't give it back. You give it to Him, He takes it. He hangs on to it for all eternity. And I gave my heart to the Lord at 12 and watching Ben-Hur. The movie Ben-Hur just came out. And there was a scene in that that just God spoke to me, and I couldn't wait to go forward the next day at church and give my heart to the Lord. I didn't know all that I was doing at the time. All I knew is you go forward and you give your heart to the Lord, and I did. But I just want to encourage you guys, no matter what challenges you may be facing, you've got a friend out there. You've also got that you can see, but you also have a bigger one who you can't see, who knows every hair on your head, who knows your heart and loves you very deeply. Very deeply. And one thing I learned through running track, and Jim Mathias and I talked about this, our coach told us, you run through the finish line. You don't run just to it and stop. You run through it. You break that tape. And that's the challenge that you have is the rest of your lives to run the race, but don't stop until you break through that tape.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Anybody over here? Nope. Come on.
Thanks. This is the powerful microphone.
It is.
Yeah. So I have two. First one's real quick. Rhonda has always been very, well, let me just start with this. I was a musician professionally for a long time, and I decided I should move on. And I had, you know, kid on the way. No, you were born. Anthony was born already. Had a family. And so making that decision, a lot of people close to me didn't understand it. They understood it, and they respected it, but you could tell that they didn't understand it too much. Rhonda has always been very, very good at reminding me that the importance of the decision I made. I mean, like, years and years. This has been a long time ago, maybe, I don't know how long ago, 15 years or something. But through the years, she's been very good at reminding me why I made the decision. And it really felt good. Whenever you say that, it really makes me remember, you know, and I better take some action. The other one is me and Rhonda were talking before church, you know, and she said, you know, just be thinking about things that you should remember. Gosh, I don't know how many years ago it was, Emmy, when you had your liver surgery. Yeah, 3 to 4 years ago. So if you don't know, Emmy had a tumor on her liver. And it was real scary. There's not been a lot of times in my life where I would have to deal with somebody as close as, gosh, my wife or even others. But I remember the day that she went in to get the liver, it resected. And she had to have about over a third of her liver removed. And so being husband, being dad, I had to stay strong, you know, and just walk through it, and I think the Lord really met me in that moment. But when I left Emmy on the bed, she was about to go in. I got in the elevator and I was going down, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning up in UCLA. I thought I was going to be alone for a while. I didn't know that when I opened the door, Emmy's brother and her cousin were waiting for me there. And her cousin, Victor, is LAPD, and he's just full of life, and he loves family. And so coming out of the elevator, turn left, and I saw them down the hall, and Victor and David stood up, and I lost it. I mean, completely lost it. It was at that moment that I just, it was like, this is out of my hands. This is in God's hands. But it was tough. That was tough to go through. So I remember what God has done. I remember the way that he preserved my wife. And it was a good time. So it's important to just speak that out, because he has blessed me with Emmy. He has blessed me with Anthony and Elena and you guys. So thank you.
And you know, sometimes we remember what God's told us to tell somebody else, and sometimes we don't. So with Tony, I remember exactly where it was. We were in a business meeting over at Mimi's. Remember, when we were having breakfast or something there with some of the other business people, and I just really felt compelled that I needed to go up to him and tell him, "You gave up fame for significance." I still remember that. Yeah, who else? We have a few more minutes. Who else? Come on. Jennifer, you want to do?
Susan.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? No, it's like this. I'm sorry. No, let here. And Jennifer, go. Okay, you share. You can
say so the powerful mic.
Don't fidget.
I won't. Don't play. I've been incredibly encouraged by every single person in this church. I came here, like I said, 10 years ago, and didn't know anyone except for my boyfriend at the time. And he brought me here, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of people. And I've got to know everybody and be encouraged, but One person has been a huge encourager for me, and that's Rhonda. Rhonda scares me. And it's in a good way, but everybody here, the rough times we've had with family and loss of family, and everybody's just been supportive. But what I love about Rhonda is she sees the big picture when I don't. And she's not shy about letting you know what the big picture is. And sometimes that may not be what you want to hear. And I am so blessed that Rhonda has I kind of think of her as the Lord's mouthpiece. And she, it's in a good way.
No, but that's a lot of responsibility.
Well, okay. not just the only mouthpiece, but what the thing that really comes to mind is there was a time at a women's retreat that we had, and it was a time when I was pretty much a full-blown alcoholic, and I was not behaving godly, nor was I behaving responsibly. And Rhonda, on the Sunday, I asked her to come outside with me, and she prayed for me against the devil and Satan and the spirit of alcoholism. And I was, absolutely blessed by that. And it still took a while for things to kick in, but I knew, because I hadn't been behaving quite the way I should, when Rhonda asked if we could talk together, I was shaking. And we didn't get a chance to get together for a few weeks. So let's just say that my fear grew and grew a little bit, because I was afraid I was going to get a spanking. But the most wonderful thing is when Rhonda and I did get together, she handed me 3 or 4 note cards that she had written encouraging scripture on. She prayed for me. She just loved on me. And I still have those cards. I keep them in my car. And I can look at them anytime I need encouragement. But it's just things that you aren't sure how they're going to work out. And it may be fearful. It may be crazy, and it's going to be tough. But the encouragement that I've gotten from Rhonda, and I know a lot of us have, is amazing, but also the encouragement from all of you. And so I guess the thing is I'm trying to say is, you rock, Rhonda.
Thank you. All right, Jennifer. Any of you want to say anything? No, you don't have to. Noah's looking at me like, do you want me to? You can if you want.
Okay.
Yeah, you have just.
All right, okay. Somebody told me just wanted to pass it along because it was an encouragement to me, so I want to pass it along to you. George and I were in Tennessee, and my sons were here. I've got two sons, one 26 and one 28, and I love them more than anything on God's green earth, except George and my family. I just adore my family. And we weren't with them, and I had gone to a little ladies' Bible get-together, and the lady that was leading it just said one thing, and it's just going to stick with me forever. But she said, God is a father, and God the Father loves us like family, and he is all about family, and he's got your family. So even, if I'm not there physically and, when kids get up and go off and go to work or go to college or whatever, but it just encouraged my heart. And so I want to pass that along because he is a father and he's got your family. He loves family. And so that was it.
That's great. That's a good reminder. That's a good reminder. Mary Lee, ooh, I'm so glad you feel comfortable doing this.
I'm going to be brave and just a short little thing, and it's not, super powerful. But I want to thank you for being the church and family for Peter. He was my firstborn, and even though he's 35 years old, oh my gosh, it's nice to know that he has a family that really is there for everything. When they moved into their new house, I heard of all the men that went around and prayed for that house. And just what a blessing that is to know that God is there to protect and to inspire, and the support that you have all, especially the men, have given him to be such a man of God. Also, allowing Hannah to use her gifts here, and I know you're blessed by that, but it's a blessing to know that they have that place. But I also wanted to share, just recently we had done Ty's dedication here, and I wanted you to know that I appreciate that your church is as flexible and as, not so rigid, that Peter had that opportunity to share that his grandfather, who was the beginning, in a sense, of the men in the Herman family, passed away recently, just a couple of weeks ago. And the fact that God allowed that to happen before the passing and was quite a ministry to the men in my family. Grandpa didn't feel that he was that great of a father because he didn't have a father example. But he had women around that prayed for him. And there were times that he struggled with being a father. He didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to handle frustrations, and anger came out. And that was a hard thing for the family to live with, his anger. Don't make Grandpa upset. But he was such a loving, nurturing man when he wasn't frustrated. And so the opportunity for him to publicly be honored by Peter here to say that he was a great dad and that passed along through three generations of dads, and now hopefully Ty will pass that on too, was just an honor that the church is that way. Our church is so huge that kind of dedication doesn't happen. Our other son's church is large also, and so their dedications of our grandkids have been private matters, not public matters. And so I just have been blessed by this church and just by your freedom you have here and the family unit that you are and how you've been blessing Peter and Hannah and all the grandkids too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary Lee. All right, one last one. Anyone? Am I doing this? No? Okay. All right. So let's stand. Tony, you want to come up? Sam, would you do me a favor and put Hebrews up there, please, the Hebrews 10:1, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So I'm going to leave you with this. You know, I have several others that, I mean, where's Cade? Okay. I'm going to just say this. So many of you know Cade's story. The day that I got the phone call from Aaron, who was in the hospital, who had just given birth to Lucy, and told me about Cade, that he was on a helicopter. I think it was a helicopter, wasn't it? It was an ambulance with sirens and everything else, probably, to get you there as quickly as possible to Chalk for the surgery. And then a month later, he'd had a second surgery, which resulted in a stroke. You know, I am just, I mean, I get to teach Cade in Sunday school, so I get reminded all that time, but it's never far from my memory that he has gone beyond what anybody has expected. His doctors and the doctors that read his case now and before they see him are expecting something and somebody totally different. And when they see Cade, they are amazed that he is functioning so well. He is running. I don't know how many of you are here at Christmas, but he ran from the seat over here over there. He ran. As he ran, I just felt, Lord God, he was barely walking. And he ran. Do you remember running over there? You were trying to catch up with Lucy because she was ahead of you because she said, I'm going to be ahead of Cade. So, you know, so you were trying to run to catch up with her. He plays baseball. He's in school. He's mainstreaming. He's bringing in quarterbacks from all over the country to talk to the kids. I mean, he's amazing. And that is because Mike and Aaron decided over 5 years ago that they were not going to let anybody else direct what was going to happen to Cade, that they were in charge. They were his parents, and it wasn't going to be a doctor that was going to tell them. They need all the doctors, and they want all the doctors they have, but they make the decision, and they're on their knees making those decisions. So anyhow, I'll leave you with that.